So he became a gun. A gun that he could hide in a jacket and make believe he had an erection all the time.
Hey guys, I'm Prince Nesta, and welcome to Flight Discover America with Prince Nesta. I'm your pilot, Prince Nesta. So fasten your seatbelt, sit back, relax, and enjoy, and get ready for the ride.
Lies, destroy the lies, grenades in their eyes, grenades in their eyes. Death is their prize.
This one's gonna be special, cause I'm hosting a legendary group known as the Last Poets.
So he became G.I. Joe, killing his family, not the enemy. A human gun made and manufactured in the United Snakes of America.
Many hip-hop historians consider the Last Poets the grandfathers of hip-hop, and they almost single-handedly laid the groundwork for the emergence of hip-hop ever since their formation in 1968, shortly after the death of Martin Luther King Jr. Their influence can be traced to any hip-hop performing group today, and they rightfully boast of paving the way for socially committed hip-hop MCs, including, you guessed it right, one of my best of all time, the late Tupac Amaru Shakur. Because of the Last Poets' Brooklyn connection, the group is also influential in paving the way for the man that I love to the moon and back, Notorious B.I.G., also known as Biggie Smalls. Biggie, 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 Biggie K. Ooh, such is incredible impact of the Last Poets. And I was really honored to speak to founding members Abiodun Oyewole, Umar Bin Hassan, and drummer Babadon Babatunde after their amazing performance in Nevada. And first things first, I asked Abiodun Oyewole, how the hell did they even start calling themselves the Last Poets?
The name came basically, there were a number of poems that David Nelson actually read before we came up with the name. But the poem that really kind of stuck out was a poem written by a South African poet who passed away about a year or so ago. His name was Kaopetsi Kokosile. And nobody could say his first name because it was difficult. So they called him Little Willie. Little Willie Kokosile, tremendous poet. There's a book, and you could probably find it on your gadget, called Black Fire. It's the anthology of great writings done of the 60s. Many of the great writers that you probably don't know anything about. Short stories, essays, poems, all in this book. On page 237 in that book is a poem written by Little Willie Kokosile called Towards a Walk in the Sun. And that poem talks about how hard it was to live under the apartheid regime in South Africa. He was writing about that situation, and it was horrifying. And you could feel his anger in the poem. Toward the end of the poem, he changes it to capital letters. This wind you hear is the birth of memory. When the moment hatches in time's womb, there will be no art talk. The only poem you will hear will be the spear point pivoted into the punctured marrow of the villain and the timeless native sun dancing like crazy to retrieve rhythms of desire fading into memory. David Nelson added, therefore, we are the last poets of the world. You got it?
That's interesting, yeah.
Well, in the poem, South African poet Kaopetsi Willie Kokosile posits the necessity of putting aside poetry in the face of a looming revolution. Here's one of the last poet's best-known poems, and I would like to warn you, listener discretion is advised. The poem is titled When the Revolution Comes, and it was recorded and released in 1970.
When the revolution comes, some of us will probably catch it on TV with chicken hanging from our mouths. You'll know it's revolution because there won't be no commercial. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
Preacher pimps are gonna split the scene with the communion wine stuck in their back pockets. Faggots won't be so funny then, and all the junkies will quit their nod and wake up when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, transit cops will be crushed by the trains after losing their guns, and blood will run through the streets of Harlem, drowning anything without substance. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
I hope pearly white teeth fall off the mouths that speak of revolution without reference. The course of revolution is 360 degrees. Understand the cycle that never ends. Understand the beginning to be the end. And nothing is in between but space and time that I make or you make to relate or not to relate to the world outside. My mind, your mind, speak not of revolution until you are willing to eat rats to survive. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution
comes. When the revolution comes, guns and rifles will be taking the place of poems and essays. Black cultural centers will be forts supplying the revolutionaries with food and arms when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, white death will fall off the walls of museums and churches, breaking the lie that enslaved our mothers. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, Jesus Christ is gonna be standing on the corner of Lenox Avenue and 125th Street, trying to catch the first gypsy cab out of Harlem. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, Drew Merchant will give away matzo balls and gefilte fish to anyone they see with an afro. Frank Schiffman will give away the Apollo to the first person he sees wearing a blue dashiki. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
Afros gonna be trying to straighten their heads. And straighten heads gonna be trying to wear afros. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
But until then, you know and I know niggas will party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party.
The Lost Poets infuses politically charged raps and taut rhythms, which are dedicated to raising African-American consciousness, pushing the need for the community's unification in the wake of their bitter slavery history. I was a little bit inquisitive and I asked Abiodun what inspired them to form the group.
In 1968, the group started and we wanted to have a collective of poets to be an example of how important it was for unity amongst black people. We wanted three men with the percussionists on stage coming from different walks of life. Because see, poets, generally speaking, they ride solo. Poets can be reclusive. They could be off in the woods by themselves and not talk to nobody. Talk to trees and the brook and the flowers and the birds and the hell with people. Poets could live like that. But we wanted to show the human connection. So we had three men from different walks of life. We mentioned the names, and now you're looking at three of us today. Umar is Umar. You're not gonna confuse him with me. We're two different people, but we know how to work together. Babatunde is not me nor Umar, but we know how to work together. And that's the example, that's the major picture that we're trying to provide for those folks who care to know why we are a group. We're a group to serve as an example to black people as to how much we need unity.
And the founding members of the group include Felipe Luciano, Gillan Kane, David Nelson, and some have since passed away, including Jalal Mansur Nurdin, Suleiman El Hadi, Nilaja, Abu Mustafa, and Kinyate Abdurrahman. I asked the last poets, what is it that they are trying to achieve with their poems and what's their target audience? And this is what they had to say.
We're trying to empower our folks to recognize their humanity. In spite of everything that we've been through, we're still very human. And we share that humanity with whomever comes in touch with us. We're not people who hoard our humanity. When we sing a song, we don't just sing it for ourselves.
Yeah.
We sing it for the world. And if you happen to be a white person writing something that makes sense, that touches my soul, like Carole King, for example, we'll sing her songs. She's got a play on Broadway that's been there for years called Beautiful. because she was absolutely beautiful. Why? Because she had the Drifters and the Shirelles singing her songs. We Used to Love Me Tomorrow. It was written by her. Natural Woman, which Aretha Franklin owned, was Carole King. I mean, and there's some white folks who recognize they're not white, they're human. If you're gonna walk around here being white, that's a problem. Be human, yeah. And we can hang. Poetry is a catalyst for change, that kind of change,
yeah.
For sure. And it's not only with us, with any other poets of any other country or culture, you're gonna find that the poet usually is a nucleus of change amongst his people.
I think it targets the oppressed, people who feel who've been downtrodden on or been injustice or disfranchised is what the poetry is targeting.
The poetry has always been the voice of the people who are disenfranchised, like he said. The poet becomes a voice for the voiceless.
I want to be what I can be, to be proud, healthy, and free. I want to say what I know, to help my brothers and sisters grow. I want to feel good about me, and blame no one for my misery. 'Cause I'll be strong to turn it around. I want to go up, I'm not going down. I want to do what I can do to make all my dreams come true. Remember my past, the good and bad, how I made it art even when it was sad.
That's some inspirational stuff from The Last Poets, and it's playing right here on Discover America with Prince Nesta. Now, the group has also gone through some challenges, including one of their own, Abiodun Oyewole, who robbed the Ku Klux Klan and served a jail sentence.
There were personal changes. We all had to, you see, we were kids. Umar and I happened to be the youngest in the group, all right? I mean, 19 or 20 years old, come on. My manhood hadn't been developed yet. So I found my manhood in the group. So I had to go through changes. Because to be a man in this country, you gotta be tested. You gotta be tried by fire. And if the fire is not gonna consume you, you might run to it. And both of us ran into the fire. He did drugs, that was his thing. He had to go through that. And I call myself a revolutionary, but I had not gotten my hands dirty or bloody. So I went down south and I started an organization. And next thing I know, I'm robbing the Ku Klux Klan, and I ended up going to jail. I had 12 to 20 years in the prison. I didn't stay there that long, but that's what they gave me. But it was perfect time for me to get myself together and get my manhood together. If you're gonna test anything on this planet, you've got to go through some changes. Nothing is going to just come without changes.
And I found myself interested in finding out if The Last Poets listen to the current crop of hip-hop artists.
I'm inspired by anybody who's got something inspirational to say, musically or otherwise. I mean, I think Kendrick Lamar tries to say something. I'm proud of him. I mean, there are a couple of others. I know Lupe, you know, he was trying to say something. I haven't heard from him for a minute, but he was pretty much on it also. And Biggie, he goes down in hip-hop history as being probably one of the best storytellers of the poets, because he took you right to the spot. He made you feel Tupac knew us really well. His mother was a fan, and she would come and see us. There's another singer of now who I just recently was turned up to by my grandson. I think she goes by the name of Her. She's dope. And I heard she can play every instrument in the group. I mean, she's got talent supreme. Reminds me of Prince, because Prince had that ability. I'm always looking for more inspiration from the young people, because we know we have it's like we're passing the baton, man. I mean, I would like to think that you could talk to us again 30, 40 years from now, but I don't know if the guys are going to give us that kind of time on the planet.
The grandfathers of hip-hop are always looking for more inspiration from the young folks. You better be challenged, all right? Well, The Last Poets talked of Kendrick Lamar as being one of those artists currently on the right track. Here's his song, Be Humble, playing right here on Discover America with Prince Nesta.
This that great Poupon, that AV on that TED Talk. Ay, watch my soul speak, you let the meds talk. Ay, if I kill an it won't be the alcohol. Ay, I'm the realest after all. Tell him be humble.
Sit down, I'm enjoying it right now. It's Kendrick Lamar on Discover America with Prince Nesta, one of the artists The Last Poets are so proud of. Well, The Last Poets also challenged me to think about something.
Just imagine yourself for a minute. Take black people out of the American fabric, and what do you have? Just think about it. I have to tell you, basketball wouldn't look the same. Football wouldn't look the same. Music wouldn't probably even be major. In every aspect, we have an influence, anything. And then they're going to show us things like Hidden Figures. How long have these women been working at NASA as the mathematical wizards of the space program? Who would have figured that? I mean, think about it. There's only one race. It's a human race. How can we deal with black and white still? That should have been dead.
Selfish desires are burning like fires among those who hoard the gold as they continue to keep the people asleep and the truth from being told. Racism and greed will keep the people in need from getting what's rightfully theirs. Cheating, stealing, and double dealing as they exploit the people's fears. And now Dow Jones owns the people's homes and all the surrounding land, buying and selling at their humble dwelling in the name of the master plan. Cause paper money is like a bee without honey, with no stinger to back him up. And those who stole the people's gold are definitely corrupt. Credit cards, master charge, legacies of wills, real estate, stocks and bonds on coupon paper bills. And now the U.S. mints on paper prints millions every day, and use the eagle for their symbol, cause it's a bird of prey. And now the laws of peace and the owls of wars are clutched very tightly in the eagle's claws, filled with greed and lust. And on the back of the dollar bill is the words "In God We Trust." But the dollar bill is the only god, and they don't even trust each other. And for a few dollars more, they'd start a war to exploit some brother's mother. Then there's the pyramid that stands by itself, created by black people's knowledge and wealth. And over the pyramid hangs the devil's eye that stole from the truth and created the lie. Now Inuit means an endless amount stolen over the years. And Coepus means a new empire of vampire millionaires. And Novus is a Latin word meaning something new. And Ordo means a way of life chosen by a few. Seclorum is a word that means to take from another. Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding stolen from the brother. A Roman numerals on the base of the pyramid's face tell the date they began to exist, when they established this branch of hell in 1776. Now there are 13 layers of stone on the pyramid alone, an unfinished work of art, for 33 and a third is high as a mason can go without falling apart. 13 stars in the original flag, 13 demons from the devil's bag, 13 berries and 13 leaves, 13 colonies of land-grabbing thieves, 13 owls in the eagle's claws, 67 corporations wage the devil's wars, 13 stripes on the eagle's shield, and these are the symbols on the U.S. seal. Now on the front of the dollar bill, to the right of Washington's head, is a small seal in the shape of a wheel with a secret that's been left unsaid. The symbols in the middle represent the riddle of the scales, the ruler, and the key. The square rule is a symbol from the craft of masonry. The scales represent Libra, the balance of the seventh sign. They also represent the just us, which you and I know is blind. The key unlocks the mysteries of the secrets of the seal, so that only the governed human would know what they reveal. The four words above form the last parts of the secrets of the seal, and tells how they fooled the people into thinking paper money was real. Now Thesaur means the treasury, where they store the gold they stole, and Amur means to punish, like the slaves they bought and sold. Then Septet means seven, like a 1776, when the 13 devils gathered to unleash their bag of tricks. Then Sigil means the images they've created to fool the world, like the colors on Old Glory, the flag that they unfurl.
are now reds for the color of the Indian man. Whites for the devils who stole the land. Blues for the eyes that hypnotize with the tricks and traps they sprung. And even to this very same day, they all speak with forked tongue. And so the power's in the hands of the ruling classes, playing God with the fate of all the masses. So the people don't get any in the land of the plenty, cause E pluribus unum means one out of many.
Interesting stuff from The Last Poets right there, way ahead of its time. The Last Poets wrote the piece back in the late 1960s, and it reveals in quotes the truth about the system. Well, so what next for The Last Poets?
We are going to continue to tour as long as the gods give us strength and health to do this.
For sure, we wish you all the best, The Last Poets, and thank you so much for joining us on Discover America with Prince Nesta. Well, before we sign out, I've got another poem, and strong listener discretion is advised because some of you might consider the language offensive. This is The Last Poets with their last poem on Discover America with Prince Nesta. The poem is titled, Niggas Are Scared of a Revolution. Enjoy.
Niggas talk about fucking that, fucking this, fucking yours, fucking my sister, not knowing what they fucking for. Ain't fucking for love and appreciation, just fucking to be fucking. Niggas fuck white thighs, brown thighs, yellow thighs. Niggas fuck ankles when they went out of thighs. Niggas fuck Linda, Sally, and Sue. And if you don't watch out, niggas will fuck you. Niggas will fuck if it could be fucked. But when it comes to fucking for revolutionary causes, niggas say, fuck revolution. Niggas are scared of revolution. Niggas are players. Ooh, niggas are players. Niggas play football, baseball, and basketball while a white man is cutting off their balls. When a niggas play, ain't tight enough to play with some black thighs. Niggas play with white thighs to see if they still have some play left. And when the white thighs to play with, niggas play with themselves. Niggas will tell you they're ready to be liberated, but when you say let's go take our liberation, niggas reply,
I was just playing.
Niggas are playing with revolution and illusion. Niggas are scared of revolution. Niggas do a lot of shooting. Niggas do a lot of shooting. Niggas shoot out the mouth. Niggas shoot pool. Niggas cut around the corners and shoot down the street. Niggas shoot sharp glances at white women. Niggas shoot dope into the arms. Niggas shoot guns and rifles on New Year's Eve. A new year that is coming in, but white police will do more shooting at them. Where niggas when the revolution needs some shot? Yeah, you know, niggas are somewhere shooting the ship. Niggas are scared of revolution.
Interesting insights from one of the most famous poems in The Last Poets canon. And on that note, I would like to thank you for tuning in to Discover America with Prince Nesta. It was an honor to be joined today by the grandfathers of hip-hop, the guys who laid the foundation as far as hip-hop music is concerned. I would like to send a token of appreciation to Jody Likes, who's a hip-hop scholar at the University of Nevada, Reno. Thank you so much for setting up this interview. And I would also like to thank Jordan Blevins and my executive producer, Nico Colomband. Make sure to find me on Facebook at Prince Nesta, on Twitter at Prince Nesta, and on Instagram at Prince Nesta Radio. Cheers for now and take care for us till you hear from us again, alright? Bye.